SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour number two here on the morning after on Sports Grid. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. This hour, we're going to take a look at the futures market. The Heisman Trophy winner, that market's been moving a lot. And also in the NFL, we've seen some futures market movement as well and some differences in certain team rosters, certain trades, certain players staying. Where could they be going? We're going to keep you updated. And we've got one of our favorite guests from here on the morning after. He covers the Chiefs. He works in Kansas City. It's Carrington Harrison. He's going to break down the team with the best odds on the odds board to win the Super Bowl, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. First, last night, I did not get to watch this game because I wake up around 6 a.m. Eastern time, get ready for the show. I can't stay up to watch a 12:40 a.m. game. What I do know is the result. I do know the box score. And what I know is that Team USA ends up getting redemption. They beat Iran 120-66 last night. Good teams win. Great teams cover. Not only did the U.S. end up winning the game or covering any kind of spread, the U.S. covered a 41.5-point spread. This line moved from a 39.5 to 41.5. I even saw 40.5, so it was around that range. As for the total, it does go over. The total was around a 170. Team USA nearly hits that on their own. And remember, these are shortened games, which is why we're seeing a lot of these totals a lot lower than the NBA. Team USA, as you see here on the graphic, also does cover in the first half. It was minus 21.5 in the first half, and Damian Lillard goes over 17.5 points in the first half of the game. Ben, finally a big win for Team USA to not only win the game outright, but to cover as well.
Sometimes it's just the bad luck of the draw, and if your name was Iran last night or early this morning, depending on how you look at it, in Tokyo or here on the East Coast, they just stood in the way of a pissed-off Team USA team that needed a win and needed it desperately and not only needed a win but needed to win by a whole heck of a lot, and that's what Team USA did over Iran, winning by 54 points, covering a ginormous spread. And when the spread is 39.5, 41.5, the correlated thought might be to the over, because if Team USA is going to cover, then you might want to look at the over as well. Six players on Team USA finishing in double figures. Damian Lillard leading the way with 21. Zach LaVine had 13 off the bench. They were looking good all across the board. So finally, a bright spot for Team USA. This is kind of the thing about Team USA, where they kind of find themselves between a rock and a hard place often. When they lose, it is huge fodder, and everybody likes to poke fun at them. When they go out and beat Iran by 54 points, it's exactly what they should do. So you look at Team USA for their final play of their final game of pool play, I should say, coming up on Saturday. This one we might be able to watch, Ariel, 8 a.m. Eastern on Saturday morning here on the East Coast. Team USA against the Czech Republic.
I'm out.
No,
Saturday
too early
morning,
still on a Saturday?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I agree, but listen.
On a Friday, Monday through Friday, we got to get a Saturday in. I'm sleeping.
We're getting close to college football season, which means for me, you wake up for game day at 9 a.m. Eastern. So maybe I don't catch all the game, but maybe I catch the second half. Regardless, Team USA, the Americans, a 21.5-point favorite. The total now back up there, 183.5 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Team USA needs to continue to win, get those points to try to be the number one seed coming out of pool play, obviously suffering the loss to France in that Olympic opener. So, no future odds right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook as we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience here to the morning after, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090 on the West Coast. I am Ben Stevens. She is Ariel Epstein. And finally, Ariel, a good win for Team USA. Hopefully they continue that on Saturday morning, bright and early, against the Czech Republic.
It was the 23rd time that the United States men's basketball team has won the Olympic game, or a Olympic game, by 50 or more points. All other countries have done this 24 times combined. Team USA has done it 23 times on their own. Men's basketball has been dominant throughout the years in the Olympics. However, France did move into that into the favorite spot on the FanDuel Sportsbook prior to yesterday's game. Prior to yesterday's game with Iran, or this morning's game with Iran, Team USA had the second best odds to finish in their group, with France being the favorite because France did get the win over Team USA, of course. Team USA had to win this game against Iran and the game against Czech Republic coming up this weekend in order to get into medal contention, and that's where their focus is going to be. As a 21.5 point favorite, Team USA should win this one. Yet, Ben, to lay the 21.5, how confident would you be?
Oh, 10. 11 out of 10. I'm laying the 21.5. I'm backing KD, Dame, and everybody on that team. Go America. We're laying it. We're laying 21.5. Absolutely. I'm laying those points, and I'm taking Team USA against the spread for Saturday's morning, their final game of pool play against the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is better than Iran, no doubt about it. It's reflected in the spread, obviously. Closed near 41.5. This right now, currently at 21.5, but I'm still laying the points. I'm taking Team USA. They need to win, Ariel, not only just for the points, but they need to continue to make statements that they are the most dominant side in the world as we get ready for these tougher Olympic tests against the likes of Spain, Australia, Slovenia. They need to win these games and do so by a large margin. Also, a moment here, a round of applause for Team USA women's basketball in the 3x3, taking home the first ever gold medal in 3-on-3 basketball history at the Olympics. Kelsey Plum and the crew dominant in doing so, unbeaten in their run to a gold medal.
Amazing stuff. First time ever watching these 3x3s. They're crazy, super fast-paced, and congrats to the women's team. And also, women's swimming yesterday. America took the silver and the gold, Katie Ledecky getting the gold for the fastest time for, I forget the amount of meters, I'm so bad.
1,500.
But it was the longest, yeah, 1,500, first time ever. I know it's the first time ever that they ran this race, and Team USA comes away with gold and silver. Heisman Trophy talk coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the Morning After on Sports Grid, SiriusXM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Arielle Epstein. Let's take a look at how the futures market's moving. It's time for Market Movers. I'm excited to talk about this market. I didn't look at it recently because the last time I checked on it, it didn't move too much. Then Ben Stevens texts me yesterday and says, I feel like there's been movement in the Heisman Trophy race. So, okay, I'll go look now. He was not wrong. There's been a lot of movement in this race. Now, your favorite is still Spencer Rattler of Oklahoma, who goes from 5-1 to 8-1. These snapshots were taken on January 5th when the odds first were released. It is interesting to see that although he's still the favorite, the line has moved against Rattler. JT Daniels had the second best odds to start at 8-1, yet now he's tied for the third best odds at 12-1. Sam Howell, another interesting name from North Carolina, a lot of people projecting he could be the first overall pick in 2022. However, his odds moved from 14-1 to 16-1. Ben, how come we're seeing so much movement against so many quarterbacks?
Well, I'll just say this. I'm glad there has been movement against these quarterbacks and that these odds have gotten longer, because it is a very difficult thing to find value in this market, because right now, as the Heisman Trophy race is starting to get underway as we get into fall camp across college football, you need a little bit of that value. It's still pretty short odds on a lot of these guys that could be a toss-up when all is said and done by the time we get to December and the Heisman Trophy is awarded. One thing you will also notice, that everybody listed on that graphic, the top 9 odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now currently are all quarterbacks. That makes sense, because since the year 2000, 17 of the last 21 Heisman Trophy winners have been a quarterback. That is how the award goes. That is how success goes in college football. The only 4 years it was not a quarterback to win the award. Last year in 2020, Devontae Smith. Before that, it was Derrick Henry in 2015. 2009, it was Mark Ingram. And of course, Reggie Bush winning it in 2005. Now, due to NIL, Reggie Bush deserves to have that Heisman Trophy awarded to him. That all being said, the focus should be quarterbacks and where you can find value on this board. Two of the last four Heisman winners have been a quarterback from Oklahoma. Yes, from OU. So when you look at Spencer Rattler up there at plus 800, that is the exact same odds Oklahoma has to win the national championship. He will be a guy under a very prolific Lincoln Riley offense that has averaged over 40 points in all 4 years. Lincoln Riley has been the head man in Norman, Oklahoma. Sure, Spencer Rattler will be that guy, but the value, the only guy with three digits next to his name right now, is certainly not there. So where can we find value? Is it DJ Uiagalelei, the starting quarterback for Clemson? Maybe. Is it JT Daniels at 12-1, the starting quarterback for Georgia? I'm not entirely sure. So I look a little bit more down the board. I think a guy like Sam Howell, who you highlight there, Ariel, does have some value. My only question about Sam Howell is, how good is North Carolina going to be in the national landscape this year? Are they going to win the ACC Coastal and challenge Clemson in the ACC Championship game? If that is the case, Sam Howell at plus 1600 provides value and opportunities to possibly cash out by the time you get to that conference championship game come that first weekend of December. Sam Howell was picked to be the ACC Player of the Year in the preseason poll by the media heading into this 2021 college football season. So I think that's where you can find some value currently. As you look across the board, let's dive a little bit deeper here. There's a guy also at 1600, plus 1600, 16-1. CJ Stroud. He will be the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes this upcoming season. Ohio State will certainly be a factor in the race for the college football playoff. I expect the Buckeyes to be there. I expect Ohio State to win the Big Ten. CJ Stroud, at his disposal, has some of the best wide receivers in all of the country. When you look at guys like Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jeremy Ruckert at the tight end position. Yes, I know the Big Ten. I can name those names off the top of my head. CJ Stroud is the guy giving them that football. He could be a name that if Ohio State does, Ariel, get into contention for the Final Four of the CFP, that I think also provides some value at 16-1.
As we're talking about a lot of quarterbacks who had movement against them, there's one quarterback that stood out a lot to me, and he's not on this list. I realized it this morning. The Ole Miss quarterback, Matt Corral, went from 40-1 back on January 5th to now 18-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Corral is a 6'1" quarterback, first year in Lane Kiffin's offense. Last year he was extremely accurate, just under 334 yards per game. Passing yards per game, and he ran for just under 51 yards per game. He's mobile. In addition to being a good passer, and he totaled about 400 yards on offense per game last season. How much could you see Corral being in the mix, Ben?
Oh, absolutely so, because the numbers coming out of Oxford, Mississippi this year for that Run Rebels offense are going to be ludicrous. The third most passing yards in all of the country last year, Ariel, averaging something like 470 in the 9 games that Ole Miss played this past year in 2020. Matt Corral and Lane Kiffin are going to toss the ball all over the yard constantly and relentlessly within the Southeastern Conference. So just numbers alone, Matt Corral will be a factor. He will be a part of the Heisman race. It would not surprise me on numbers alone if Matt Corral is a Heisman Trophy finalist invited to New York City. Now, I don't expect Ole Miss to be a great team. If they go 7-5 this year, I think that would be quite a substantial level of success for Ole Miss in the SEC, but they are going to move the ball as much as they can, mainly through the air, and that will be based off Matt Corral. One thing to note, a huge loss for Ole Miss heading into the season is Elijah Moore, one of the most talented receivers in all of the country who could do a little bit of everything. He now plays here in New York for the New York Jets, the second round pick of the Jets, who will be teamed up with hopefully the rookie quarterback Zach Wilson when all is said and done for this 2021 season. So that might be another area where Matt Corral takes a step back in some of the numbers, although just the amount and the usage that Matt Corral will have this year, that will certainly be there. To see that movement from 40-1 to 18-1 now, I think goes to speak about how the SEC is viewed. Matt Corral speaking at media days in his second season under Lane Kiffin there in Oxford, Mississippi. Here's another longer shot that I think provides some value. Casey Thompson, who will be the supposed starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. Now, Texas, of course, has been in the news because Texas and Oklahoma are going to be joining the SEC in what seems to be a few years, absolutely shaking the college football landscape as we know it. But Casey Thompson this year, in the first year under Steve Sarkisian, will be a guy to know as the starting quarterback for the Longhorns. 40-1 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 4,000. And he will be a factor because Steve Sarkisian is one of the best, if not the best mind offensively in all of college football. Texas right now to win the Big 12 is plus 1,200. If they can have some of that success and they contend for a conference championship, Casey Thompson and his running back, Bijan Robinson, who has the shortest odds of any player not a quarterback this year for the Heisman Trophy at 30-1 will be a big reason for that. So two guys that have some value right there, Bijan Robinson at 30-1, Casey Thompson at 40-1, who will be in the backfield for Texas this year. And if they are contending for the Big 12, look to those two guys to provide some value by the time we get to late November.
A school that I hope we're not sleeping too much on is USC, especially in the Heisman Trophy race. They do have the second most Heisman Trophy winners. They have six, and then the other ones behind or that are in front of them all have seven, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Yet to have the second best, but technically fourth best, but second most in total of Heisman Trophy winners, USC's quarterback Kedon Slovis, it's gone against him, the odds, 20-1, moved to 25-1 in the last 6 months. However, he did throw for 5,423 yards in 18 games in his career, 47 touchdowns, completing 70% of his passes. Completion percentage so huge when talking about how good and reliable a quarterback is at the college level. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's not reliable, and that's a potential quarterback situation arising in Houston. The Texans, well, is their quarterback at practice for training camp? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Sometimes winning just comes down to attitude. Well,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here on the Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Breaking news coming out of the NFL, specifically down in Houston, as the quarterback of the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, is on the field for training camp. It was announced that Watson was planning on arriving to training camp, considering he's fined $50,000 for each day he doesn't show up. Yet the commissioner has not put him on the commissioner's exempt list just yet. There are a bunch of cases, about 10 still open against Watson. No news as to if he is or isn't going to play yet this year. However, Watson's still reporting to camp, still out there on the field. There's video evidence to prove it. Ben, what does this mean for the Houston Texans?
Despite the ongoing legal situations that Deshaun Watson is facing, the NFL has said that for training camp at least, and it's just training camp at this point, Deshaun Watson will have no limitations in what he is able to actively do with the Houston Texans organization in terms of his on-field practice and performance. So at this stage, he's out there, he's practicing, but even take away the legal situation, Deshaun Watson does not want to be in Houston. He has not let go of his stance that he wants to be traded from the Texans organization. And a couple of days ago, entering training camp, for the first time it was reported, the Texans are listening to offers. They are taking calls and actively looking to shop Deshaun Watson. So it's all a very interesting situation. What does it necessarily mean for the Houston Texans? I'm not sure a ton, because even with Deshaun Watson last year, before a lot of these frustrations really rose to the top, Deshaun and the Texans won four games. And right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, their team win total is at four. And yes, it's a 17-game season, but I don't really think it leads to much more success, even if Deshaun Watson is forced to play for Houston this year. He's not going to be happy. You don't know exactly what the NFL will do in terms of any exempt list that he might be placed on. So still, I think right now, just because he's practicing today on the first day of practice at training camp, still doesn't really do much for the Houston Texans in terms of their on-field success looking forward to this 2021 season.
Here's how you know. First, the Texans are still 2-1 as the best odds to have the worst record at the NFL at the end of the regular season. Second, there are no odds up for passing yards props on the season for Deshaun Watson yet. That shows you the odds makers are still questioning how much, if at all, Watson's going to play. Now, there are other passing yards options up. For the next few weeks, Ben and I are going to go through the NFL props market. We're going to give you what our take is and what our best bets are for each of these different categories. There's passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, etc. that we're going to go through for the next few weeks to tell you how to approach this the futures market. The passing yards props that we're going to go today, and I'm going to take an over and an under. The over that I like is for the Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins to go over 4,050.5 passing yards. It's at minus 112 on FanDuel for him to hit the over. Cousins went over this number in 2 out of his 3 years in Minnesota. He had 4,298 in year one in Minnesota, and then last year, 4,265. Now, granted, he did lose his tight end in Kyle Rudolph. He still has his wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, who was one of the top 10 receivers in the league last year. Cousins led the league in quarterback accuracy last year with 82%. His problem came in the red zone, which is where his accuracy dropped to 22nd in the league at 74%. I don't care about the red zone when going for passing yards. Take them downfield, throw an interception, Kirk. I don't care. Just get the team downfield and do whatever you need to do. I'm not betting your passing touchdowns. Forget that. Cousins ranked inside the top 5 in short, medium, and long balls. Vikings the second most efficient offense last year. I like Cousins over on his passing yards prop. Ben, which over do you like for the passing yards props for these quarterbacks?
I'm looking to circle the wagons with the Buffalo Bills, and I look to the over of Josh Allen's passing yards prop, which right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook is 4,499.5. And it's very funny just looking at all these huge numbers when we're talking about props, because it seems scary and drastic just when you look at the number itself. But when you dive into this for Josh Allen, if it's anything like last year, and I know last year was year number 3 of his career and the best year by a large margin that Josh Allen had, so it's not a huge sample size of sustained success at or around this number, but last year, in what was a great season for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen threw for 5,361 total pass yards, the third most in all of the NFL last year, and had the sixth highest completion percentage at 68.4%. I think in Brian Daboll's offense, who is back as his offensive coordinator once again in Buffalo, Josh Allen should continue to have at least close to this level of success, because when you look at 5,361 and his pass prop is 4,499.5 right now, that's a huge margin. I'm not saying he even needs to go over 5,000. He doesn't even need to be that good. But I think there is certainly a huge edge there and a huge area to go over that pass prop of 4,499.5. And I know in his first 2 years, he wasn't even close to this number. In his first rookie season in 2018, 2,074. In his second year, 3,353. So a combined 5,427, just over combined in his first 2 years what he had in his past season last year in year number 3. So the first 2 years in 29 games, that's not a great sample size to make you feel good about where this number is currently heading into 2021. But again, if he is going to be the orchestrator of that offense, that is one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. The third shortest odds right now, tied with the Green Bay Packers at plus 1,200 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A team that has a team win total posted at 11 right now on FanDuel. Josh Allen to go over 4,499.5 when he threw for 5,361 last year. I'm thinking the edge is there. I like the over for Josh Allen.
Year number 2 between Allen and his wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. I love the Bills, and I love the bet, too. I love Josh Allen, and I hope that this year he progresses again. This is a Bills team that there's one more curse that needs to be broken. I'm sure there's more, but the Bills are the team that stands out to me. We've gotten the Cubs over with. We've gotten Andy Reid over with. We've gotten a lot of these different teams, the Capitals. In the last 5-10 years, these teams have won championships. I'm waiting for Bills Mafia to get theirs. If the Ravens can't do it, please let it be the Buffalo Bills this year. They have the third best odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to do it. Here's a team that I'm not high on. It's the New York Jets. Again, even though they did get a quarterback, a rookie quarterback in the draft in Zach Wilson, they still haven't even signed him. I don't even think he's arrived to camp yet. For an under in the passing yards prop, I'm going to Zach Wilson, under 3,850.5 passing yards. It's also at minus 112 for the under. Sam Darnold has never gone over this number. When he was the quarterback of the Jets, He didn't have over 3,024 passing yards in his 3 years in New York. He had below 3,000 in two out of the 3 years. Granted, he didn't make it through a full season in any of his 3 years in New York because he decided to get mono, had some injuries. It was bad luck all around. Here's the thing. If you're surrounded by a bunch of really good players, then maybe I'd have higher hopes for you. No Jets receiver had over 700 receiving yards last year. It was a disgusting mess. None of the Jets receivers had over, as I mentioned, 700 receiving yards, which led to this team being the second worst passing offense in the NFL, averaging just under 175 yards per game in the air, which is gross. I'm going to say under for Zach Wilson, 3,850 passing yards in college. He only, actually in college, he never hit that number either. He had 3,692. Ben, not high on Zach Wilson for me.
I mean, he's not even at training camp right now. So I think the thought process and how you cap that is very valid. You talk about 3,850 in the hook. It's the same exact passing yard prop for 2021 as the former New York Jet, current Carolina Panther, Sam Darnold. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, by the way, Ariel, I think when you look at Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, the guy that seems to be destined to have an incredibly successful NFL career, and I believe he will, although I have my reservations about Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence's passing yard prop is 4,150 in the hook. That seems a little bit high for a rookie quarterback. I know there's 17 games involved, and I know Justin Herbert, who I will talk about in just a moment, went over that number last year, but that still seems a little bit high for a rookie quarterback playing for a very bad team in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went 1-15 last year. That first win coming in week number one, they lost 15 straight to end out the 2020 season. Just an interesting number there. I love Trevor Lawrence, but still, I think I would lean the under of that. Speaking of Justin Herbert, who won the Offensive Rookie of the Year last year in the NFL during his rookie campaign, now in his second year, I like the under of his passing yard prop. That's at 4,550.5. The under also has the juice at minus 112. I understand that last year in his rookie campaign, when he won the Offensive Rookie of the Year, he had 4,336 yards in just 15 games. So you would think in a 17-game schedule, he would for sure go over this number of 4,550 and the hook. But it just seems a tad too high for me for a guy going into his second year in the NFL. You need to make sure that that sample size is sustained, that we don't have any sort of sophomore slump, which we see often around the National Football League. There's a lot of high expectation for the LA Chargers this year. Brandon Staley, if you look for more odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the new head coach in Los Angeles for the Chargers, has the shortest odds right now to win NFL Coach of the Year at plus 1200. There's a lot of that optimism behind LA, and I hope I'm wrong. I think that Justin Herbert is going to be good. I think the Chargers could be a playoff team, very likely coming out of the AFC West. But when you look at what the Chargers have right now, their team win total at 9.5, it's plus money to the over. To make the playoffs, it's plus money to the yes, which is an indication that it's not the betting favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So at 4,550.5 for Justin Herbert in year number two, I think I would lean the under of that passing yard prop.
I like that you say year number two. Year number two is the year for quarterbacks to prove how legit they really are. Last year, these teams had no idea what Justin Herbert was going to do. The Chargers barely even knew what Justin Herbert was going to do. The Chargers had the advantage because they knew how they could reface the offense to fit their quarterback. Defenses were at a disadvantage while the Chargers were figuring it out. You have Herbert, who played most of the season last year. Now these defenses know. They have tape. How much can the Chargers and Herbert change? That's why I could see that under hitting. Stay here on the grid. Carrington Harrison coming up next from Kansas City to talk about those Chiefs.
Congratulations.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Sometimes the best team in football doesn't get enough love. The Kansas City Chiefs have the best odds to win the Super Bowl, the best odds to win the AFC, and of course they're the favorites to win the AFC West. The Chiefs also have the best odds to finish the season with the best regular season record. There's odds up if the Chiefs will even go 17-0 for the win total of 12.5, over plus 100, under minus 120. Ben, when it comes to betting on the best team in football based on the odds, how much should we really be talking about it, or do you really just like finding value elsewhere?
Well, I mean, I think value in the futures market is tough when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, but to see them even money to go over 12.5, and I know 12.5 is a lofty number, do not get me wrong, but we're now playing 17 games in the NFL. And last year, the Chiefs went 14-2. In 2019, as I pull up their record, they went 12-4 in the regular season, but one more game, and maybe they go 13-4 in a 17-game schedule back when they won the Super Bowl in 2019. This has been sustained success for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs for a while. So I don't love 12.5. I think it is a large number. In fact, it is one of the largest you will see when it comes to any team win total in any season, but it's even money to the over. So I don't mind it based on a 17-game NFL regular season. I think when you look the value across the board, whether it's the Super Bowl or the AFC, or especially the AFC West, where they're a minus money favorite and for good reason, that's where I think the odds are a little bit too short to try to back the Chiefs in the futures market. But when you look just at their team win total and you're just controlling what KC's schedule is, to go over 12.5, even money to the over, I think there's a little bit of value there.
I know we're getting Carrington Harrison set up now. He works out there in Kansas City. And I thought it was very interesting because the Xavien Howard situation, who's the cornerback that requested a trade out of the Miami Dolphins, he actually led the Dolphins in interceptions last year, had 10, which led the league. And Howard has said that the team hasn't really gone over his contract. They didn't want to give him any extra money, and he felt like he wasn't appreciated by the team. Matt Miller, who works for NFL Draft Scout, said that Xavien Howard, who's a top five cornerback who wants a trade, the Dolphins might want him out of the AFC, but he would be amazing in Kansas City if they needed him, or because they do badly need him. So to me, seeing that the Chiefs, they've improved the offensive line, they need some help at the secondary. Depth at the secondary has been something that's been questionable for this Chiefs team for the last couple of years. Ben, Xavien Howard to the Chiefs?
Oh, I mean, if that happened, that would be absolutely incredible. I can't wait to talk to Carrington because he does not know this about me. But Ariella, as you know now, I'm a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. So to add Xavien Howard into a secondary that had tons of depth issue last year as they were making that run through the AFC playoffs and into the Super Bowl, that would be huge. He would be a staple in that defensive secondary along with Tyrann Mathieu. And what they would be able to do in that secondary, Ariel, would be awesome. I think we need to welcome on Carrington Harrison to get his insight, Ariel Epstein.
Carrington Harrison joining us now. You can catch him on Twitter at c.harrison. Carrington, first, I have to start with something so out of left field that I don't think you'll see this coming. People on our team here at The Morning After feel like your name is reflective of a steakhouse. Have you gotten that before?
No, I actually have been told that my name sounds like an apartment complex. That's probably been the biggest diss I've ever heard on my name. My name actually comes from my grandmother was a big fan of the show Dynasty, and there was a character on there named Blake Carrington. And she liked the way that it sounded, so that's where Carrington comes from. I didn't get to be named Ariel or Ben the way that you guys did. We went way left field with my name.
I actually love this even more, that that's why you got named your name, because I love Dynasty. So I am now a bigger fan of your name than the steakhouse whole storyline that our team made up. So Carrington Harrison here joining the show, and he is most known here on the show because he does cover the Kansas City Chiefs. It's great timing because the Chiefs have been the best team in football, arguably, and actually 2 years ago were, for the last couple of years. So now they're being booked on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Carrington, as the best team again in football. The best odds on the board to win the Super Bowl. How much you buying it?
I agree. I mean, I still think they're the best team in football. I understand they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but I think we can identify the problems with their offensive line. And if there's any team that had a problem and aggressively attacked it this offseason, it was the Kansas City Chiefs with the addition of Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, the drafting of Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. They were very aggressive about fixing the offensive line, so I still think they have the crown of being the best team in the NFL. Let's not discount that this team virtually went 14-1 last year during the regular season. I'm not going to count the Week 16 where they didn't play against the Chargers, So I still consider this team to be the best team in the NFL. I heard a little bit of a conversation before I came on. The Chiefs have hit the over every year Andy Reid has been the head coach. And I understand this year it is a very lofty number. It is a big number. But if you have taken the under on Chiefs wins since Andy Reid has been the coach, you have lost. So I would continue to keep that streak going until proven otherwise.
Carrington, 14-2 last year in 2020, 12-4 in 2019 when they won the Super Bowl, 12-4 in 2018, now a 17-game season, and the team win total for Kansas City is posted at 12.5. You said you like the over. What about this Kansas City team makes you confident the Chiefs can go over that number of 12.5?
They have the best coach and the best quarterback in the NFL. I think it's really that simple. I would say in terms of skill position players, they're probably top three in the NFL. They have a top three wide receiver in Tyreek Hill, maybe the best pass catcher slash offensive player in the NFL in Travis Kelce, and they have a competent defense. So, and I also think the division, one thing I think we need to keep in mind about the Los Angeles Chargers is Justin Herbert has never played a real NFL game. Not saying he didn't have a great rookie season, but part of being a quarterback is being able to go on the road on 3rd and 8 and overcome the situation and move your team down the field. He's never played in real Mile High. He's never played in real Arrowhead. So I think some of the hype for the Chargers is a little bit premature. The Broncos have a bottom five quarterback situation in the NFL, and the Raiders are the Raiders. I just can't look through the Chiefs' schedule and find more than five losses on that schedule. I'm not saying they're going undefeated. I'm not saying, but look at their schedule and show me where you see five or more losses unless something catastrophic happens. I just can't find it.
Carrington Harrison joining us covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, speaking of those Chiefs and covering them, training camp opens today for all the NFL teams. What are the main storylines going into training camp this year?
The three biggest issues right now with the Kansas City Chiefs is their right guard situation. That's how exciting things are in Kansas City. From virtually left to right, they're pretty solidified right now. But at right guard, I don't think they know who their starter is, at least for week one. So there's going to be probably three or four names to throw in the hat. I'm not going to bore you about the Chiefs' right guard situation. I would say number two cornerback is probably a big talking point here. They had a rookie, L'Jarius Sneed, last year out of Louisiana Tech. He had a great rookie year. They don't really know who the number two on the other side is going to be because they didn't bring back Rashad Breeland. And number two wide receiver, one of the reasons I think the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl was the Tampa Bay was, all right, we'll let Kelce, we'll let Hill do their thing, but we don't think anybody else on this offense can beat us. Can they get a guy like Mecole Hardman to step up? Can they get DeMarcus Robinson to step up? I would say those are probably the three position battles as we head into camp. Right guard, number two corner, number two wide receiver.
Carrington, when you look at that defense, it has not ever been the strength of KC, obviously knowing what they do offensively. But what is one area of improvement you want to see out of the Chiefs this year, maybe outside of the secondary?
I would put corner as probably their number one issue right now. I think the Chiefs are playing somewhat of a dangerous game. If you want to ask me what I think the Chiefs' weakness is, I think they are below average in pass rush. They were 26th in the NFL last year in pass rush, and they have virtually a no-name secondary. Those two things typically don't add up. If you're not going to get pressure to the quarterback and you also don't have guys you can trust that can cover on the back end, that normally equates disaster. But the Chiefs have done a really good job over the last 3 years in finding these diamond in the rough guys to give you good contribution from corner. So a guy like Rashad Fenton, a sixth-round pick out of Carolina, a guy like Charvarius Ward, who was undrafted, they just get the most out of those guys, and it just works. And with how good I think the Chiefs' offense could be this year, you don't need your defense to be a top eight defense in the league. If the Chiefs can be the 14th best defense, but they're second offensively, they can go back to the Super Bowl this season.
Carrington, we've had you on the show, well, here on Sports Grid for at least the last 2 years now, talking about the Chiefs and the Super Bowl. When it comes to the other quarterback to do this, it's been Tom Brady, who's gotten his team in the New England Patriots and now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to multiple Super Bowls, and not only getting them there, but winning them. How sustainable is what the Chiefs doing for more than just the 2021 season?
That's a great question. I think we are probably a year away from seeing the Chiefs roster start to turn over. I mean, I think you're starting to see it now with the offensive line. From just the AFC Championship game, so the last time that the Chiefs played a game at Arrowhead Stadium, they're going to have a completely different offensive line from left to right. It's not realistic to think that you're going to keep your NFL roster together for more than 4 years, whatever your core is. So now the challenge is going to be, as Mahomes' new contract kicks in, can you do more with less? That's sort of what the NFL is really defined by. But I will say the Chiefs have done a really good job at kind of structuring these deals where they all kind of turn over at the same time. So this year and probably next year, you'll be able to keep your core intact with Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones. And probably at the 2023 season, 2024, is when you'll be forced to make some difficult decisions.
So, Carrington, the Chiefs, obviously the favorite to win the Super Bowl, plus 500, also the favorite to win the AFC at plus 250. But who do you think is the Chiefs' toughest competition in the AFC that could contend for that conference championship?
Buffalo. I'm really high on Buffalo based off what we saw last season. I would say the two teams that I think when they went back to their respective war rooms and decided, all right, what do we need to do to beat Kansas City? I think it was Buffalo, and I think it was Cleveland. I think Cleveland was very aggressive in their secondary this year, and that's a direct result of trying to beat Kansas City. I think Buffalo was very aggressive in trying to get pass rush. I'd argue Buffalo should do more and probably go trade for Chandler Jones, but that's another conversation for another day. But those are the two teams that I think are the closest. But this is what I run into. All right, let's say you don't think Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl. That's perfectly fine. Then who? Tell me who you think is going to the Super Bowl. Buffalo, good answer. Is anybody really picking the Cleveland Browns to go to the Super Bowl? Is anybody in their right and sound mind picking the Cleveland Browns?
No, because the same way that you said, Carrington, Vegas is Vegas, or the Raiders are the Raiders, the Browns are the Browns. Same thing.
Exactly. Now, you got to think about this. Cleveland is so bad as a city, they had to create movies so they could win. Outside of LeBron James, the only time we've ever seen Cleveland win is in fictional movies. They were terrible in draft day. They were terrible for about 80% of Major League. Let's not kid ourselves. Like, go back. You know what? After this segment, go back and look at all the teams that Cleveland beat last season. I don't understand the Cleveland hype for anything. They have the 14th best quarterback in the NFL, and they feasted on one of the five worst schedules last year in the league. It's so wild to me.
I love it. The overreaction, the hype, Odell Beckham Jr. will come back. He'll be by Jarvis Landry, as if this team was winning a Super Bowl even when OBJ was on the field. Carrington Harrison, thank you for joining us today. We're going to have you back in a few weeks because we've got to talk week one between those Browns and Chiefs. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts as we get more information through training camp. But enjoy training camp and make sure to go and get us some really good reports out there so that you can come back and report back to us.
I appreciate it. I just want to leave you guys with this. Baker Mayfield is just Jimmy Garoppolo with unlimited Hulu access.
Oh, okay. I love it. The restaurant, the dynasty star, Carrington Harrison, thank you again for coming on with us. We'll see you again soon. But coming up next, we're going to finish things off here in hour number two with our Guess the Line segment. You're listening here on SiriusXM Channel 204.
Loser is such a hard...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number two, you're on the Morning After on Sports Grid. You're listening on SiriusXM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. Let's get now to Guess the Line. With the quarterback of the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, showing up to training camp for day one today, so he doesn't get fined at $50,000 a day. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Where is Deshaun Watson going to take his next snap? In Colorado, the market's not up. However, Aaron Rodgers did have that market up prior to his announcement a couple of days ago that he was going back to Green Bay. Yet if you had to set the line, Ben, where would you set the line at for Deshaun Watson's next snap?
So it's a very awkward and ongoing situation, not just because Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, but obviously the legal troubles that Deshaun Watson finds himself in off the field. But the NFL has said for training camp there will be no restrictions placed on Deshaun Watson, which makes it seem like as we get ready for the regular season, he will be allowed to play at least at this point. With that being said, I think Houston has to be the odds-on heavy minus money favorite at minus 250 because what the Texans will be asking for in terms of talent compensation for Deshaun Watson has been rumored as 5 top draft picks, 3 first-rounders. I don't see many teams across the NFL giving up that much valuable draft capital for a guy whose future they're not necessarily sure of what it looks like at the moment. So I think Houston is the favorite at minus 250. If there was a team in plus money, maybe the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 325, something along the lines of that.
It's interesting because Watson has video out now of him at practice. He had the red jersey on with his number 4 on it. Then he joined the other quarterbacks and decided to take off the red jersey. Red jersey, by the way, means that you don't get hit. So I'm interested to see why he took that off, if he's just going to chill the rest of practice today. I don't know. He's just there so he doesn't get fined. We have to say goodbye to our MSG audience. Tune into sportsgrid.com. Find out which platform works best for you. We are on multiple streaming services in addition to SiriusXM, Channel 204, and the Mightier 1090. Hour number 3, happy hour. Best bets of the day coming up next.
We are your official source for gaming, odds, and more.
Except no substitutes.
They won't be around long anyway. This.